We're doing Chafetz Chaim, and we're up to the 8th chapter, the 5th halacha. V'chol zeh isur shel lashon ra'o davka ali shel pi din Torah adayin bichlal amitecha. When we speak about the prohibition of saying lashon ra, that's with regards to someone who is still part of the fold. We consider him one of ours, one of the Jewish people. Da'ainu, when the Torah says amitecha, the word amitecha really means a person from your nation. So Chazal understood that to mean, what does that mean from your nation? Am she'itcha b'Torah u'v'mitzvot. The nation that's united with you in Torah and mitzvot. Aval otan ha'anashim she'makirim she'yesh ben epikorsut. But if you have people that we know they are, what's an apikores? That's a person who knows what's right and says, I'm not interested, I'm not doing it. So then, mitzvah leganotam ulevazotam ben bifneim ben shelo bifneim bechol ma shehu roeh aleihem or shomeh aleihem. So then, part of what the approach we take is that we look at what's right and we also recognize what's wrong. Sometimes in life, people would much rather ignore what's wrong. And it's not true. You have to also be able to say, this is wrong. And sometimes you say, this person doesn't know any better. That's not an apikores. Sometimes you say, this person underwent who knows what, the Holocaust or whatever. That's not an apikores. But then you have someone who grew up and learned everything and they know what Judaism is. And then they decide, I'd rather not. So that's an apikores. That's they might decide my temptations overtook me, but at the end of the day, that's still an apikores. Whenever the Torah warns us about speaking negatively, it says someone who's part of your nation. But if it's someone who denies the basis of what our nation believes in, and again, we're not talking about someone who doesn't know. We're not talking about someone who didn't learn. We're not talking about someone who was never exposed. We're talking about someone who knew and learned and then decided, I'm not doing it. So then they are not included in this prohibition. Now, here we have to define a little bit better. The prohibition of Lashon Hara is an added sensitivity. There's the prohibition to harm someone with my speech directly. That's that's direct damages. Someone's about to get a job and you call their employer and say, I wouldn't hire him. I think he's a really lousy person. And there's no objective information. There's just, that's what I think of them. So that's direct harm. It's also Lashon Hara. But what Lashon Hara does is it takes the prohibition of harming someone with our speech, which is relevant to everyone, and it says, now you have to have a heightened sensitivity. That means, if let's say you and I are talking about Jack Schmo, and I say, oh, Jack Schmo, I think he's a lousy person. I really don't like him. You know, he's the last person I would hire for a job. I don't think you're ever going to hire him. And I don't think there's any way that right now any harm will come of what I said. It's just a negative thing to say. So Torah comes along and says, that's Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to say it, even though right now you don't see any direct harm coming from it. But you have said something, or I have said something, that a person would rather not be said about them. So Lashon Hara takes the prohibition of doing harm to someone else and expands it to a heightened sensitivity. Right now I don't think anything's going to happen of it. How often do people do this? They sit together and they tell their wife, you know, your father, he's a nice guy and everything, but... how often do people do this? They have a family event, and then they come back from the event, and they say, you know, my brother is always... We can finish, each one can finish the sentence their own way. He's a sore winner. He's a sore loser. Did I harm him? What did I do? I said something that is Lashon Hara. There's no direct harm right now. And still it's Lashon Hara. So when it comes to those sensitivities that the Torah says... Be extra careful. Don't say something, even though right now you don't see harm coming from it. But in the long run, it might cause harm. And even if in the long run it doesn't cause harm, but a person would rather not have that said about them. So then Torah says there's another prohibition, Lashon Hara. That added prohibition is only for club members. Meaning the general prohibition, don't do damage. That's to a Jew, that's to a non-Jew, that's to anyone. You're not allowed to damage someone else. But when the Torah added and said, I don't want you to speak negatively, even where it won't cause harm, I want you to be extra sensitive. So that added sensitivity that no one in the world does, other than the Jewish people, No one thinks anything of saying negative things. People go on the media and they say negative things. People go on Twitter and they say negative things. People go on Facebook and they say negative things. People embarrass a person publicly and they mortify a person for life and they think there's nothing wrong with it. But I really think that's the type of person he is. So no holds barred. You're allowed to say whatever you want. No, no, no. Comes the Torah and says, aside from hurting someone's feelings, aside from publicly defaming someone, aside from all the things that we can understand are wrong, there's another level of sensitivity. But that added level of sensitivity, me and you are sitting over a cup of coffee, I can't tell you what I think of so-and-so. It's not relevant. There's no reason it would be permissible for me to speak negatively of them. Ah, Torah gave me an added sensitivity. Torah says, but that's for club members only. People who go with the way of the Torah. Not to do harm unto other people, that's true for everyone. Doesn't matter if he's observant, non-observant, apikoros, not apikoros, Jew, non-Jew. You're not allowed to harm another person. Yes, sir?
That has to count as if you think somebody did something wrong to you. You're not supposed to put that in a public domain, right?
Right.
And the right thing would be to commit that person not to do it, right?
Or to deal with it. Or to make sure they don't get away with it. Sometimes you have to make sure they don't get away with it. You hired a plumber. The plumber cheated you. So what do you want to do next? You want to go online and start posting. Anyone who wants to hire Plumber Jack should know that Plumber Jack is a thief. I hired him. He didn't do the job. He didn't refund the money. He won't answer my calls. You must think 10 times before hiring Plumber Jack. Wait a second. He owes you money. He's not right. Does that entitle you to ruin his reputation? It's litoeles. I just want everyone to know they shouldn't have the same problem with him. It doesn't work that way. You understand that you can't do that. Ah, people do it. It's wrong that people do it.
But you should call him.
You could sue him. You have an issue with him. Go sue him. Get your money back. I'm not saying don't sue him, but suing him is what I'm entitled to. Ruining his reputation, I'm not entitled to.
I'm saying, no, the guy who coming to the plumber, shouldn't another person come to the guy who coming to the plumber and say, hey, you have to do it in another way?
That's another question. How much do I have to look over people's shoulders? You could spend your whole day on Facebook telling people that's Lashon Hara. You could do that all day. Facebook and Twitter, what do people do?
Different domains, like the WhatsApp on
Okay, I don't know if it's our job to be looking over people's shoulders. Whether it's right or wrong, no, people should not be saying bad things about other people in any form, and certainly not the public form of WhatsApp or Facebook, etc.
Even if it's true.
Yes. Deal with it. If the guy owes you money, deal with it. Now, I had a mover that I gave a very nice tip to. And then the fridge didn't work. I called him up. I said, you know, technically I have insurance on the move. My refrigerator's not working. He doesn't answer my phone calls anymore. Wait a second, that's not fair. I paid for insurance. It doesn't even cost him, unless he was lying when he gave me insurance. Now my neighbor's about to move, and my neighbor asked me, which mover did you use? I owe it to my neighbor to tell him, this is the mover I used, and this is what happened. Why? Because for him, it's relevant. That's called litoeles. It's his benefit. Now, it's tempting for me to say, I wouldn't recommend that mover. No, they're horrible movers. That I'm not allowed to say. In every way, they were decent movers. I even gave him a nice tip. The tip I gave cost much more, or maybe the same, as the amount it cost me to fix the fridge. So we're going to learn the details of Lashon Hara L'Toelet. When am I allowed to tell someone? But one of the rules is I have to be very accurate. I can't infuse my interpretation. I have to say, they did the move. I was very pleased with the move. They showed up on time. They carried things gently. Everything seemed great. And when they left, the refrigerator didn't work. And then they didn't answer my calls. Because he will now have the facts and he will ask himself, did they really not answer his calls? Or can it be they had a problem with their phone that day? Meaning he can ask me, did you try SMSing them? And I'll say yes. And he'll say, did you try for one day or for two? And I'll say, no, I tried only one. After the tip I gave them, when they didn't answer me the first day and they didn't answer my SMSs, I decided I'm not chasing after them. This is just dishonest and unethical. I did not try more than one day. So it could be it's my fault. Could be I should have been more of a nudnik.
So basically, you talk about only facts. So not about opinion.
And even that, I didn't go on Facebook even though I wanted to. And I didn't tell the whole neighborhood even though I wanted to, because a lot of people recommended them. And I wanted to go back to them and say, you know, I really wouldn't recommend these people anymore. I didn't do that. I don't know for any reason that it's to their benefit to know. It's to my benefit. I want to get back at him, right? That doesn't allow me to do anything. When I have a situation that it's come to my attention and it's necessary for someone to know, I have to be careful what I'm allowed to say. And then, as we will learn the details of halacha, coming back to our halacha, says the Chafetz Chaim, so we do have this clause, that when it comes to the added sensitivity of lashon hara, motzi shemra, or lo tonui shetamito, not motzi shemra, lo tonui shetamito, it's for club members only. V'ne'emar alom sanecha Hashem, esnam tkumecha tkata, v'epikos what's called an apikores? Someone who denies the truth of Torah and prophecy of Inguam Yisrael. And this is whether it's the written Torah or the oral Torah. And even one who would say, all of Torah is God given, except for one pasuk. Or one derivation of Zashavachat, or Dikdukachat, Gamuvachlalazet. We say that the written Torah and the oral Torah is right, and one who denies it from our end, it doesn't matter if he denies all of it or he denies only parts of it. From our end, that's not acceptable. That still goes under the heading of an apikores. So that's an important concept. Very often when people are chozer b'tshuva or they do gear, so you don't know everything just yet. That's not an apikores. Person doesn't know. Fine, doesn't know. Sometimes there are surprises. What we have to develop is a respect for the system, including the written Torah and the oral Torah, and the customs. Meaning a person who feels, I can respect the Torah, but I don't respect the oral law. I can respect the Torah and the oral law, I don't respect customs. I can respect, but only up to a point, so then maybe they're better off keeping the seven Noahide laws, or learning more. Meaning when you come in, when a person is doing Giyur, what they're accepting is the system. And the system includes all its details. A person can say, I don't know yet if I'm ready for that. That's legitimate. It's even intelligent. We've had students here, even this past year, who spent a long time studying, then they got up and said, I'm not ready to do this. And they walked out of the gear program, and we're still friends. And this has happened more than once in my brief decade-plus history here. It's happened, and on the contrary, I respect people who do that. That's a person who's honest and says, fine, I can't. But a person has to know that it's the real thing, meaning our expectation is that if a person's taking this, he's taking on the whole system. The biblical, the rabbinic, the customs, it's a package deal.